Good afternoon, 4:30 and 54 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Courtney Howe.
It has devastated their businesses. It creates confusion, it creates difficulty, it creates cost.
Governor Bevin claims the Affordable Care Act has been catastrophic for Kentucky companies and must be repealed.
A Catlettsburg city councilman is arrested on drug charges.
And a former Ashland police officer has gone to court in an effort to get his job back.
Round County High School could have a new girls basketball coach by Wednesday.
But Luke has the stocks.
Partly cloudy tonight, lows around 25 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A Dover, Kentucky man has been arrested on charges of rape, sodomy, and sexual abuse following a six-month investigation by the Moorhead Post of the Kentucky State Police. 49-year-old Charles Clark is held in the Mason County Detention Center. Trooper Jared Wagner says the alleged victim is under 12 years of age.
Two people are dead following an apparent murder-suicide in Portsmouth early Saturday. According to the Portsmouth Daily Times, the victims were found in their Edendale Road home. Police say 47-year-old Larry Watson and his 39-year-old wife, Crystal, died of apparent gunshot wounds. Family members reportedly called police after Larry Watson told them he had just killed his wife in a domestic dispute and was about to take his own life. Officers found both bodies about 12:35 in the morning.
A prisoner who scaled a fence and escaped from the Mason County Detention Center over the weekend has been captured in Covington. The Maysville Ledger Independent reports the 27-year-old John Barker of Montgomery, Alabama, was working in the jail's kitchen area and had access to the outside so he could dispose of trash. Mason County jailer Lisa O'Hearn says video shows Barker climbing a fence and then heading southbound on U.S. 68. That was about 5:30 in the morning Saturday. After Mason authorities reported the escape, Sheriff Patrick Bogg says he received word later Saturday that Barker was in custody in Kenton County. Barker is a Kentucky State inmate who was incarcerated because of a parole violation.
Four people are held in the Boyd County Detention Center after undercover narcotics officers made several drug purchases over the weekend. WSAZ is reporting that those arrested include Enrico Barber, James Ely, Linda McKenzie, and James Perkins. Boyd County deputies say Barber and McKenzie are charged with trafficking in oxycodone. Ely is accused of selling crack cocaine, and Perkins faces charges of complicity to trafficking in a controlled substance. He was reportedly with McKenzie when deputies bought oxycodone tablets at the Ashland Hotel.
A Catlettsburg city councilman is one of three people facing charges as part of a lengthy drug trafficking investigation. Multiple news outlets report that 37-year-old Richard Andy Brown was arrested Saturday along with Tammy Sawyers and Stephen Sawyers, both 53 years old. All three are charged with trafficking a controlled substance, which police say was meth. They're also accused of selling drugs within 1,000 feet of a school zone, possession, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Police say detectives made several undercover drug purchases from inside and outside a home which belonged to Brown and is near a school. Catlettsburg Police Chief Cameron Logan says he expects there to be more arrests.
An Ashland police officer is appealing his recent firing, MSPR's Holly McClurkin reports.
According to the Daily Independent, former officer Larry Smith has filed an appeal of his recent termination by the Ashland Board of City Commissioners in Boyd County Circuit Court. Court documents say Smith was fired after being accused of working other jobs on days that he called in sick, which violates the city's personnel policies and procedures. In the affidavit, Police Chief Todd Kelly accused Smith of misusing 5 sick leave days to work other jobs between February 9th and 13th. After hearing witness testimonies and reviewing documents, the City Commission ruled Smith had violated the city's personnel policy and fired him 2 days later. Smith is seeking a reversal of that decision. Reporting for MSPR News, I'm Holly McClurkin.
Kentucky now has 8,000 children waiting to be placed in foster homes, and Governor Bevin says that's unacceptable. He's calling on churches and nonprofit organizations to join in the effort to make sure every kid is matched with a loving family.
I'm declaring victory over this problem by asking for people to step up and marshal the troops. I mean, we could take care of the backlog of adopted need probably out of people in this room practically, let alone if you multiply it by the thousands upon thousands times more people that there are in the Commonwealth.
The governor discussed the issue at a press conference last week. Health and Family Services officials say Kentucky has a growing number of foster children because more parents are becoming addicted to drugs.
The head of an Ashland shelter for victims of domestic violence says the lack of a car is often a major obstacle keeping women from living independently. Ann Perkins is director of Safe Harbor.
We have a whole lot of women who have huge barriers because they don't have transportation. So that's probably one of the key problems that we have, is helping people become independent. If they don't have transportation to work, if they don't have transportation to school, it makes them more isolated and just not able to be as successful as they probably need to.
That's why, says Perkins, Safe Harbor now has a program to help their clients purchase a vehicle. She says for every dollar a woman is able to save to buy a car, Safe Harbor will contribute a dollar. Perkins says her shelter is not simply a place where battered women can find temporary shelter for a few days. She says Safe Harbor is a comprehensive program that attempts to address all an abused woman's needs to live on her own, from permanent housing to transportation, education, and employment.
Ashland's Main Street organization, known as Ashland in Motion, is seeking permission from city commissioners to allow beer sales during its First Friday events, which are scheduled to begin next month. Mayor Steve Gilmore says there are legal issues to be resolved, but he thinks City Attorney John Vincent can come up with a plan that is fair to all the businesses seeking to sell liquor downtown between 5 and 9 p.m. At the same time, Gilmore explains, safeguards need to be put in place to protect the public from potential alcohol abuse.
When you're going to have it at a public function, downtown's closed down, you have families, you have everybody, so in order to do this, it's got to be in an enclosed area. But we also, as one of the business owners downtown who sells food and alcohol, he's concerned about who else could come in there and do it at the same time. So that's a legitimate question.
Gilmore is confident a plan can be worked out that'll be satisfactory to everyone. AIM's initial First Friday event is scheduled for April 7th. The series wraps up October 6th.
Rowan Judge Executive Walter Blevins is keeping his fingers crossed that Kentucky Legislature's recent passage of a right-to-work law will mean more jobs for his county. Blevins admits he didn't support the bill as it was going through the General Assembly.
But what I understand from the economic development people, we're seeing many more people come to and look at Kentucky now. They said there's about 30% of those people that are looking at increasing their employment and building factory sites. 30% of those people would not even look at Kentucky. We're just off their list because we couldn't check that box. But we'll have to see. I hope that something good does come out of that bill.
As part of that, Blevins hopes that will mean some new industry at the MMRC Industrial Park off Kentucky 801. A right-to-work law prevents companies from compelling workers to join unions as terms of their employment.
Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin says the Affordable Care Act has been a catastrophe in the Commonwealth. The Republican made the comment Saturday during an appearance with Vice President Mike Pence in Louisville. Bevin says Kentucky is often cited by supporters of the ACA as a success story for the federal health care law, but it isn't so.
You're going to see our former governor yet again try to maintain some semblance of a legacy by telling you it's working. It's not working. Half our counties only have a single provider. It's not working in Kentucky. Humana is going to be leaving our exchange and every other exchange in the country. Others are going to do the same thing. The cost has become prohibitive.
The governor says he and Vice President Pence met with the owners of several small businesses Saturday who told them the health care system is collapsing under the Affordable Care Act.
Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky says the new GOP health care plan doesn't go far enough. Speaking on Face the Nation, Paul called House Speaker Paul Ryan's American Health Care Act Obamacare Lite. He says he would prefer if Congress would repeal with one bill then replace it with another.
Is there two things you have to do to fix the individual market? You have to tell people that they can buy any kind of insurance they want, so you get rid of the mandates on what it goes into insurance, but you also have to allow for people to join a buying group.
Paul says prices will drop if people join a healthcare association or co-op. He adds the bill doesn't fix the fundamental problem of the Affordable Care Act.
A jury in Pulaski County has found the physician guilty of receiving payment from Kentucky's Medicaid program for tobacco cessation counseling that he did not perform. Attorney General Andy Beshear says that the circuit court jury found 58-year-old Dr. Ezekiel Akande of Somerset guilty last week of Medicaid fraud and theft by unlawful taking over $10,000. Both charges are felonies. Akande faces up to 5 years in prison. Sentencing is set for April 21st.
Members of the Olive Hill City Council are still trying to determine who will become the town's acting mayor. MSPR's Kenzie Thompson reports.
Olive Hill has been without a mayor since the sudden death of 57-year-old Kenny Finkel in late February. Members of council have been trying for the last few weeks to decide which of them will fill the remainder of Finkel's term in office. On March 3rd, Jerry Callahan and Justin Dixon split the 6 votes on council. The group will meet again on March 21st in an effort to break the tie. It has until March 23rd to decide the issue, or Governor Matt Bevin will be given the authority to choose Olive Hill's next mayor. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet will close a nearly 90-year-old bridge in Lewis County starting Wednesday, so it can be replaced with a new structure. District 9 spokesman Alan Blair says the bridge is on Kentucky 8 in Garrison. He says the $4.4 million project should take more than a year to complete. However, he says the span will be able to reopen to traffic in mid-November.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet is sending repair crews to build a temporary creek crossing in Greenup County. Kentucky 784 was recently damaged by flooding caused by severe storms. High waters caused a section of pavement to collapse into a culvert. KTC spokesman Alan Blair says that a permanent solution in the works, though he is unsure of how long it will be before it happens.
What will have to happen is that culvert will have to be replaced with the same size culvert. Plus, you know, it requires a larger project. It's unknown how long that will take, but right now, you know, our focus is on getting access back to the people who live along Kentucky 784. So that involves doing a temporary crossing as quickly as possible.
Until the temporary crossing is finished, Kentucky 784 will remain closed. Drivers can use detour routes 3308, State Route 7 East, or the AA Highway. Large vehicles are advised to use Kentucky 7 or the AA.
Dr. John Ernst has been named the interim dean of the Cottle College of Arts, Humanities, and Sciences at Moorhead State University. He succeeds Dr. Scott McBride, who was named Chancellor and Chief Academic Officer at Penn State Dubois. Since July 2016, Ernst has served as Associate Vice President for Academic Affairs and Student Success, but he's happy with the new job.
I love it. I enjoy being part of faculty, and it's good to be home. You know, we've got challenges like everybody else, so it's exciting to start working with the chairs in the college and the faculty to move things forward.
Dr. Ernst first came to Moorhead State in 1994 as an instructor of history. In 2013, he was presented the Student Government Association's Student Choice Award for Faculty Member of the Year.
Enrollment has increased on the 4 campuses of Maysville Community and Technical College. The school now has 3,302 students enrolled for the spring semester, which is over 8% more than in 2016. Pam McGlone is MCTC spokeswoman. McGlone says much of the credit for the improvement can be traced to the school's tuition guarantee program, which had started 2 years ago for students coming in directly after high school.
They have to complete an associate degree in 5 semesters or less, and they have to maintain a 3.0 GPA, and they have to take 15 credit hours a semester. Any out-of-pocket tuition expense that they pay, this is after all Keys money's been applied, financial aid money's been applied, all federal dollars, this is the last dollar in type scholarship, we will reimburse them for their tuition.
McGlone says it also helps that MCTC has the best tuition rate in Kentucky. And taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight rainy with lows around 30 degrees. That chance of rain is at 70%. Tomorrow, a chance of snow showers in the morning. High around 33 degrees. That chance of snow is at 30%. Tuesday night, cloudy with a low of 17 degrees. Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, highs around 34 degrees, and for your Wednesday night, clear skies, low around 19 degrees. Taking a look at the current temperatures around the region, Ashland sitting at 56 degrees, Flemingsburg at 51 degrees, Inez at 61 degrees. It is currently 51 degrees in Lexington and Winchester, and 54 on the campus of Morehead State University.
445, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It's great to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, young lawyers in Kentucky are joining others in the legal community for Legal Food Frenzy, a friendly competition to raise money for hunger relief. The Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre reports.
Lawyers across Kentucky will soon have more than legal briefs and court appearances on their dockets. On March 27th, the legal community will engage in a friendly competition to raise money for hunger relief. The Kentucky Bar Association's Young Lawyers Division is a driving force behind the first-ever Legal Food Frenzy. Attorney Rebecca Schaefer chairs the group. She says lawyers and judges see the impact of hunger every day, especially on children.
This is a very real and current issue that Kentucky has. Hungry children, I mean, that affects their ability to learn, and hunger within communities can lead to all sorts of other issues as well.
According to the Kentucky Association of Food Banks, one out of five children and one out of six adults in the state face food insecurity. The goal is to raise $150,000 during the two-week Legal Food Frenzy. The association's director, Tamara Sandberg, says the hunger relief campaign springs into action now, so the food pantries will be poised to handle the spike in demand that hits when kids are on summer vacation.
Only 1 in 13 school-age kids in Kentucky who received free and reduced-price lunch during the school year have access to those kind of meals during the summer months. So summer can be a very stressful time for families that struggle with hunger.
According to Sandberg, every dollar donated will return $13 or more in food to the community. The network of 800 local charitable feeding organizations serves people in all 120 Kentucky counties. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
448, all things considered, from NPR at 5 o'clock, and Nathan has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Folk Arts Center, presenting Joe Sarter, Morehead Mind Games. On display through May 13th, the exhibition features four dozen of the artist's paintings, which draw inspiration from the people, places, and landscapes of the local area, including Morehead and Rowan County. Many of the works will be available for purchase. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Kentucky Folk Arts Center is a cultural, educational, and economic development service of Morehead State University.
A new boss this week for the Lady Vikings. Good afternoon, reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Nathan Gutierrez. To start things off, a search committee is wrapping up interviews for the vacant Rowan County girls basketball coaching posts. Principal Ray Ginter hopes the Lady Vikings' next bench boss will be named by Wednesday. Ginter says the committee is employing some suggestions by members of the team on what they want in their new coach.
They want somebody that'll push them, but yet still have fun. Somebody that'll believe in them. Somebody that's got experience and knowledge. Those are the biggest. You just see those characteristics come up from almost everybody.
Rowan needs a replacement for Elaine Douglas, who was let go after the Lady Vikings finished this season at 10-20. Saying he likes playing in Indianapolis, Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari is looking forward to the Wildcats' Friday NCAA tournament game against Northern Kentucky. Not always a fan of the selection committee's seeding for his Wildcats in recent years, Calipari says UK being installed as the number two seed in the South region is just fine with him.
Other than a one seed, which that little, the hiccup in the middle of the season. But again, we lost to Kansas and UCLA and Louisville on the road and Florida on the road. And I mean, Tennessee game on the road. Other than that, who else beat us? Oh, no one. I mean, we took care of business for a young team.
The Cats will go into the NCAA tourney on the heels of winning their third straight SEC tournament championship. They routed Arkansas 82-65 yesterday in Nashville. Meanwhile, for Horizon League champion Northern Kentucky, going to its first ever NCAA tourney is a big deal. Coach John Brannon says it was exciting to share the experience of watching last night's selection show with his players.
For them to experience this, you know, I've experienced it before, and it's a special feeling for your name to pop up on that screen. I mean, it's one of the most watched programs in the country year in and year out.